Today is Thursday. It's the 21st of January. This is Iowa Public Radio's Here First. I'm Clay Masters. An Iowa-based drill and drum corps performed in yesterday's virtual inaugural parade for President Joe Biden.
Welcome to Des Moines, Iowa. We are the ISIS Arrest Drill and Drum Corps.
This is the third inaugural parade for the ISIS Arrests, made up of boys and girls between the ages of 7 and 18. The group marched in D.C. for both of President Barack Obama's inaugural parades. In the fall of 2019, they led now Vice President Kamala Harris into two major political events in Des Moines. A video montage of Harris with the group posted online after Harris was named VP went viral. All but one member of Iowa's congressional delegation attended Wednesday's inauguration of President Joe Biden. Fourth District Republican Congressman Randy Feenster was the only member not there. He stayed in Iowa to attend a senior night for his daughter's basketball team at Dort University. Third District Congresswoman Cindy Axne, the only Democrat in Iowa's congressional delegation, endorsed Biden just before the Iowa caucuses. Back in Iowa, opponents of a bill advanced by an Iowa House subcommittee say it would resegregate schools along racial and economic lines. We hear about it from IPR's Grant Gerlach.
Five school districts have voluntary diversity plans that limit open enrollment for affluent or native English-speaking students. In Des Moines, for instance, a high-income student can only enroll out if another enrolls in from outside the district. A bill in the Iowa House would lift those limits. Supporters say districts should not stop parents from choosing another school. But opponents, like Representative Ross Smith, a Democrat from Waterloo, say it would only speed up the departure of white students from schools with growing diversity and poverty rates.
The divide between those who have and those who don't have much has never been greater. Our job as legislators is not to exacerbate that, but to reduce that.
The bill next goes to the House Education Committee.
Republicans on the Iowa House Judiciary Committee have advanced a proposed anti-abortion constitutional amendment. It would add language to the Iowa Constitution to say it does not protect abortion rights. Supporters say the amendment is needed to undo an Iowa Supreme Court ruling that says the Iowa Constitution has strong protections for abortion rights in the state. If Iowa voters approve the amendment, it would open the door to more abortion restrictions in Iowa. Those who oppose the amendment say it could eventually lead to banning abortion in Iowa if the U.S. Supreme Court also chips away at abortion rights protections. The proposal first advanced out of a subcommittee on Tuesday. It's eligible for a vote by the full House of Representatives as soon as next week. The same proposal has also been introduced in the Iowa Senate. And consultants helping with the search process for the next president of the University of Iowa say they've been inundated with interest in the position. IPR's Kate Payne tells us the search committee hopes to select a finalist by the end of April.
The search for the next UI president is well underway after current president Bruce Harreld announced his plans to retire. Consultants assisting with the search told university representatives Wednesday that the position is attracting high-quality candidates and generating a lot of interest. Search committee co-chair John Keller says among the issues that community members want the applicants to address is diversity, equity, and inclusion.
There's some common themes that have come forward, things like DEI, communication skills, leadership philosophies, vision for higher ed, collaborative styles and their views on shared governance kinds of perspectives.
The application window for the position is slated to remain open through March.
This is Iowa Public Radio's Here First. I'm Clay Masters. Later today, the Democratic National Committee is going to have its first meeting of the Biden era. Party leaders are expected to pick South Carolina's Jamie Harrison to run the Democratic Party. And one of the big issues Harrison will have to deal with is the presidential nominating process and whether Iowa should still go first.
Okay, everyone, thank you so much for your patience. We are ready to put up our final totals, and here they are.
It was almost a year ago when Democrats across Iowa gathered in high school gymnasiums and hotel ballrooms to caucus for the candidate they wanted to go up against Donald Trump. You know, before the pandemic, when people would gather in large groups. And remember how the Iowa caucuses went?
breaking news tonight. The first results finally rolling in, but the winner in Iowa still up in the air. The chaos after a major delay in reporting the first votes of the 2020 Democratic race.
A new smartphone app meant to collect the results failed epically on caucus night. And the complicated rules of the caucus meant that Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders basically tied. Now President Biden came in fourth. The Associated Press never named an official winner, and calls for Iowa to lose its place in line grew louder.
I think on its merits that the Iowa caucus falls short of the values that we espouse as Democrats.
That's Julian Castro. He served as housing secretary for former President Obama and ran for president in 2020. Castro dropped out before the Iowa caucuses, but he says 2020 should be the last year Iowa goes first, and that going forward, it should be a primary election rather than a party-run caucus.
You have basically one person, one vote, instead of an arcane formula to figure out who wins the whole thing. On top of that, the diversity of Iowa and New Hampshire simply don't reflect the diversity of either our country or of the Democratic Party.
Castro says Obama's win in Iowa that helped propel him to the White House in 2008 was wonderful, but was an exception. Even in the aftermath of the app meltdown, state party leaders still insisted Iowa should go first. Here's Iowa Democratic Party Chair Mark Smith last February.
We study the candidates very well. We give the candidates the opportunity to travel across the state and to meet with people and to hone their message as well. And so I will make a strong argument that we should keep the caucuses here.
All this will be up for debate once Jamie Harrison takes over the DNC. He's from South Carolina, which kicked off a series of Biden victories in the primary cycle. Harrison is best known for raising a lot of money in his unsuccessful race against Republican Senator Lindsey Graham last year. Expect a lengthy discussion about the nominating calendar, says Clay Middleton. He's a close friend of Harrison's and also a member of the DNC from South Carolina.
We have the White House. President Biden is going to have a say in this too. And who better than Joe Biden to provide his assessment, having ran for president a few times and not winning Iowa?
One idea would be to have all the early states go closer together, says Wendy Davis, a DNC member from Georgia.
If you look at those four, the first four states, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada, put together, they actually are a very good picture of America, right? In the diversity that is in America.
But these conversations about changing the presidential nominating calendar have happened for decades, and the debates have never really changed. Meanwhile, the chairman of the Iowa Republican Party says he's working on cementing an alliance with the other early states to preserve the current nominating calendar for his party. This is Iowa Public Radio's Here First. I'm Clay Masters.